Okay. So, going back to some things Jared said earlier, I'm kind of a tough guy, you know. At least I think some people think I'm a tough guy, you know. I like to fight. The bigger the guy, the better, you know, that sort of thing. But there have been times, like, I've gone to houses I've lived at all by myself, no one's with me, and I see a spider. I leave and I go stay at someone's house that night. I do not stick around for it. So. Alright. So my Uncle Elvin, he spent a lot of years speaking on, you know, one particular subject. You know, he talked a lot about a tyrannical world government, you know. And he did so not on the basis of that the Christians were here to save this world, you know, or that we were to take part in any sort of revolution, anything like that. He did it with an understanding, you know, that we are not of this world, that we do have a purpose, but it's not that. The reason that he spent so much time on it, he was preparing us. He was preparing us for a very rough end that is going to happen at some point. He felt that we just weren't ready for it, and we needed to prepare ourselves, you know, the same way the apostles did back before Jerusalem fell. You know, they knew something was coming. It's good to be prepared. He really wanted us, you know, strong Christians to be ready for that. So I've decided to take up my uncle's cause, and I've been going about it in a different way. I'm not sure if any of you really noticed, each time that I get up and speak, I've tended to stay on one topic, and it's been the same topic pretty much every time I've been up here. And the thing that I've really been speaking on is building a bond, unity, us getting together, you know, getting to love one another more, getting that true Christian friendship, that bond that, you know, we are the perfect one church, the bride of Christ. There is, as I said, a vicious and violent end coming. Whether it happens today, tomorrow, or 100 years from now. But we need to be ready for it. No matter how many guns you have, no matter how many rations you have put away, doesn't matter. They can take all that away. All that matters is that bond you have with your brother in Christ. The one who's going to stand beside you. You need that back to lean on. Anybody ever see Forrest Gump? You know, when they're sitting there, it's raining down, old Bubba looks at Forrest like, you can lean on me, I'll lean on you, you know. They kept each other strong out of the rain. Well, they were in the rain, but they kept each other from falling in the mud. We need that. We need to be strong with one another, leaning on one another. Lost my place. I just started. That's not good. Okay. A man of many minds always fails, but a man of focus set on one purpose is unstoppable. The church is the same way. If we're united, we're unstoppable. But if we start splitting up, you know, we're not bonding with one another. We're not standing by one another. We will fall. Even America's own physical ancestors understood this. You look at the Pledge of Allegiance. One nation, under God, indivisible. Surprise some of you, I know that, huh? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 13 through 22. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together in a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Christ came down. He died and rose again for us. He became that cornerstone for all of us to be built off of. Through him, we are now one body. We are united. We have one purpose, one goal. In a lot of ways, though, we're still not acting like that. As I preach this out to you guys, I'm preaching this to myself, because this is one of the biggest things that I've had to work on the most. A huge part of me not being around, I've said this before, for a lot of years, was, you know, how I felt about a lot of you. Just anger. For, you know, no reasons at all. But a perfect example recently was our Wednesday night experiment. What was the whole purpose in that? Why did we start doing that? Break us up, one, into groups that we're normally not around, so we can start building those bonds with those we're not normally close to. We're not doing them now. Why? A lot of us weren't going, my family included. Why? That's horrible. Need to work on that. We need to spend time with those in the church that we're normally not around. You know, you're always going to have your favorites. Jesus even had his favorites. You're going to have your best friends. That's awesome. But the weak ones, too, you got to hang out with them. You got to bring them into your fold. There are going to be times when there's legitimate problems between brethren. But God, in his infinite and perfect wisdom, he put in place ways to deal with it. Let's turn to Matthew. Chapter 18. Verses 15 on through 17. Sorry, 17 through 8, or 15 through 17. So, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. We don't just sit around and complain, you know. If there is an issue with the brethren, and I hear a lot of people say things about their brethren, go do something about it. Go talk to them. If there's a legitimate issue, go talk to them. And if it doesn't work, follow the plan. It's there for a reason. You know, whether it be one of the newest guys here, going on all the way up to Luke, you know? Follow the plan. It works. It's there for a reason. Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 29 and 30. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. We are one body, one church, one perfect bride. It doesn't make sense to hate ourselves. So if we do have a problem with anyone in here, we have a problem with ourselves, and we need to look at that. When someone hates themselves, what usually happens? They become depressed. They become alcoholics, or they get overweight, or they just go out and kill themselves. You know? You can't do that. We have to be positive. We have to be strong. We have to be building one another up. We see with Cain that he let his hate for his brother get the best of him. God said, "Why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." When we let, you know, bad thoughts, anger, all that stuff burn, it causes death. Mine caused death. I wasn't in the church for a long time. I was mad. I was dead. Now, we must also be mindful towards our own issues. There are times we may be mad at our brethren, but it might not be their fault. Maybe it is just jealousy, or maybe they tell really bad jokes, or they're just different, and we both don't particularly care for them. You know, sometimes people are different, especially new Christians, you know. A lot of them come in, and they're trying to fit in, you know. This is a whole new thing for them, going into a whole new world, and sometimes some of us kind of stay away from them. We need not to do that. They're the weaker vessel. They need to be honored. We need to spend that time with them. Some of the older Christians, too. They're so old, set in their ways. You know, sometimes they're hard to deal with. Doesn't matter. You know, spend time with them. Matthew chapter 7. Starting in verse 1. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? We spend a lot of time worrying about everybody else. A lot of time. I hear it from a lot of people. I even do it sometimes too. Gosh, why isn't this person doing this? Why isn't this person doing that? Why ain't I here every Sunday? Amen. You've got to figure it out. And I just deleted where this next section's from, so bear with me, sorry. Okay, I'm just going to read it. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. If we have people that we feel they're not where they should be, we go grab them and we honor them. We help build them up. We don't talk about them behind their backs. We don't waste that time. We build them up, and through building them up, we're also honored. The whole church is honored. We strengthen it. We get prepared for those end days doing it. Wow. I apologize. This was the longest thing I ever written, and it went very quick. But I did have something planned at the end of it, so I'm going to go ahead and do that anyways. So, as I'm talking about this, you know, a lot of times when the preacher's up here saying things, well, what about you? You know, people in the audience are thinking, you know, what are you doing? You know, you don't do those things. I don't see you be that good of a person. Mikkel, when he very first moved back here, I did not like the kid at all. He bothered me. He was this super good, you know, just really good kid. I was not. It was the exact opposite of me. You know, I like to party. I like to fight. I like to do everything I should. And his idea of fun was, hey, Jude, we should see if we could do some work somewhere and make $20 today. I mean, he was different. But that was good. I should have been more like him. When Roger and me moved to Portland, as we were coming back, Bud had been working with me off and on at Pizza Hut, and, you know, I knew we were going to be seeing each other again. We'd go to the same church. I decided at that moment that I was going to make friends with him. You know what? When I got married, he was one of my best men. Spent a lot of time building a relationship with him. We're still very different, but we have a bond. He's my brother. I know I can ask anything of him, and he'll be there for me. You weren't here the last time I spoke. There was a long time we weren't friends anymore. You know, I said it to Nathan too. That was my fault. You know, no matter what happened, it was my fault because I didn't let it go. And because of that, as life went on, you went through some things and I wasn't there for you. I should have let it go so I could have been there for you. We could have helped each other through everything. But because I had a log in my eye, I was too worried about, you know, other things. I should have pulled that out and been there for you. Should have had that relationship built up. That's the strength of all this. It's relationships. Justin, when he very first came here, you know, me and him kind of butted heads a little bit. We're both kind of the tough guys in the groups, you know. You know, we just different. But you know what? Ever since then, you've always tried to talk to me every time you've ever seen me. I appreciate that. You're an awesome guy. I thank you. You know, Jeremy City, I know you're back there somewhere. There's a few times, you know, me and him kind of sniffed at each other, and really that's on my end. He's an awesome guy, and we have a lot of things in common. And we should be building off those things. You know, I've acted immature around him, and I apologize for that. You know, we need to build this church. We need to build our relationships with one another. We need to strengthen this place. Times are coming. You don't know who you're going to have to live with in the future. You don't know whose house you're going to have to congregate at. We have to build this, and we have to do it now. There is no tomorrow. There's now. And with that, Jared, would you actually pray for us tonight?
Heavenly Father, great King, we do thank you so very much for this church. We thank you that you have made us a part of an army that will never be overtaken. You've made us a part of your spiritual temple, Lord, as precious stones that have been put exactly where we need to be. Lord, as Brother Jude was talking about tonight, it is very important for us to continue to develop these relationships that we have with each other. Help us, Lord, to seek out relationships with people within the congregation. Help us to continue to build each other up whenever we see each other, whether it's here or out in the marketplace or wherever it might be, Lord. Help us to be encouraging to the saints. Lord, it is such a blessing that we do share in this light, precious faith. This faith that not only encourages us to continue to grow, but to help others do the same. Lord, as the scriptures talk about many times, it is so important for those of us who have been around a little while to encourage and to build up those who are just coming into the congregation. As Jude mentioned, there's a bit of uncomfortableness for a lot of folks. As they come into something new like this, Lord, it can be uncomfortable. It just is. It's the way that we are. But Lord God, I pray that as your bride, I pray that you help us to be welcoming to people who are seeking the truth, always directing them back to the following the example of Christ and of many of the men and women here in this assembly who continue to be great examples of Christ. Lord, I pray that as we continue on, as we continue to add more and more souls to this body here in Billings, continue to build up this congregation, Lord, I do pray that we are prepared spiritually, primarily spiritually, for what is coming. Help us to know, Lord, that this is all part of your plan, and that if we are alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic, and paying attention, Lord, we will see many opportunities to reap more souls for you. Lord, there is a great battle that wages every single second of every person's life for their soul. And it is nothing less than eternity that is on the line. And Lord, you have sent us out as soldiers, as fellow soldiers, as brethren, out into the world to fight this battle for our great King. And as Jude so well described tonight, Lord, it is up to us individually to make sure that there is nothing that is keeping us from developing tight bonds with the congregation. Lord, I thank you personally very much for this congregation. I thank you for each and every soul who is here tonight, and for those that may be listening online, and for those that could not make it here tonight for whatever reason. I thank you for them, Lord, because I know just how precious they are to you. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we continue on throughout the rest of the week, that we do meditate upon your word, that we meditate upon the fact that we are a part of something that will never be overtaken, that we are on the winning team, and that our captain is the one who stands before us, urging us on to victory, pointing out the fact that we have all the tools we need to overtake, overcome punch through the walls and open those gates and rescue those souls. Lord, it is an exciting thought. It is encouraging, it's invigorating, and Lord, I just pray that as we go on throughout the rest of the week, that you help us to remember it. Help us to keep the congregation in mind, help us to keep the lost in mind, and help us, Lord, to continually put that word in so that if it ever is taken away from us, Lord, we still have it. Lord, I thank you again so much for Christ. Thank you so much for allowing Brother Jude the opportunity to come before us and encourage us with the Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.